You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans, by Saints fans. You know what it is. Throw me a follow on Twitter, at RossJacksonASC. If this is your first time catching the podcast, you picked a great time to join the show. Please be sure to subscribe and share. It's of course a big help to me, but also helps you keep up to date when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. And don't forget that anytime you're about to get out on the road, you can take the show with you. I love a good road trip. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune into the show. Episodes are usually just about the perfect time for your daily drive to work or back home through traffic. And it continues, the busiest week of the off season so far. More free agency for you today. The frenzy has not calmed down one bit. The Saints make another big move this morning, locking down my number one in-house guy for the offseason, so I'm glad to see that. Mark Ingram signs his contract in Baltimore, but not likely what he was expecting to get there, so we'll talk about that. And then, of course, all of the huge moves from around the league, including Le'Veon Bell finally choosing a landing place with the New York Jets. I'll tell you how that likely affected the Mark Ingram saga, and we absolutely must talk about the big-time trade that went down yesterday that pairs two former LSU Tigers with their old position coach up in the AFC North. Got all that and a little bit of land yap coming up for you right here on Wednesday's edition of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Oh my goodness, did a lot go down on the second day of free agency, and it's already been a busy morning for the third day as well. We'll talk about some of the big trades, some of the big moves, some of the big contracts, but for these first two segments, I'm going to keep it Saints-related, Saints-focused, so I want to spend this first segment talking about the Saints re-signing kicker Will Lutz on a five-year contract. So that was news that came out today. They're maintaining their guy. We know it's a five-year contract, and it's said to become the highest paid contract for a kicker in NFL history. So how high is that? Because we don't have the numbers yet. Well, in terms of average money per year, the highest was Steven Gostkowski of the Patriots with an average of 4.3 per year in terms of salary, and the contract that he signed over in 2015 or back in 2015. And then the highest three-year average went to Justin Tucker, which was just over $13.8 million in 2016. So we can expect that Will Lutz's contract will be somewhere north of $4.3 million a year. That's probably what they're talking about in terms of it being the highest paid contract as opposed to the three-year average. Three-year average doesn't really mean a lot because you can sign, you know, a five-year contract that's less than the highest five-year contract but has more within 3 years depending upon how the contracts break out and stuff like that. So I definitely think that we're probably going to be seeing a contract somewhere around $4.5 million, somewhere probably around what the Saints were willing to offer to Mark Ingram as well, but we'll come back around to that. That's going to be in our second segment. So why is it important for the Saints to have locked down a kicker like Will Lutz? Well, let's talk about what he's done first, and then we'll talk about what the Saints have gone through at the place kicker position in the last 10 years. So let's take a look at Will Lutz's career stats with the Saints. He signed with the Saints in 2016, so in those 3 years, he's 87 for 100 in field goals. That's a clean 87% total. So that's great in terms of his career percentage with the Saints. But just last year, he was 28 of 30 for 93.3%. His longest field goal of his career is 57 yards, and he's 9 of 15 from 50 plus yards out, 32 of 36 from 40 to 49 yards out, which is outstanding. And then, you know, he just steadily sort of improves as he goes there. He's actually never missed a kick, 22 of 22 from 20 to 29 yards, within that 20 yard range there. So Lutz hasn't made a Pro Bowl. He hasn't been all pro or anything like that, but he certainly got very close last year, and he's only improved every season, kicking 82.4 field goal percentage the first year, 86.1, and then 93.3. So he's continued to improve and trend the right way. He's also been outstanding in extra points. He did miss three in 2017, but other than that, 2016 and 2018, he only missed one each for a 98% extra point percentage in both cases. So needless to say, Lutz has been a big time success story for Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. Lutz actually came into the league in 2016 undrafted. He was signed by the Baltimore Ravens, and that's, I think it was in May he was signed in 2016, and then by August, by the end of August, he was released. Beginning of September, he signs with the Saints, and he has been there ever since. He actually had a field goal blocked in one of his first games, which probably wasn't the greatest start, but then he continued through, including a game winner against the Carolina Panthers later on that same season. And from that point forward, he's just been outstanding for the Saints. And again, this is very important to New Orleans to have a solid kicker, because there weren't really a lot of success stories when it came to the attempts that the Saints were making at the position. Now, my fiance knows a ton about Saints football now, but when we first got together, one of the first things that she ever learned was that if you miss a kick under Sean Payton, you probably are going to get cut. That was like one of the first things she learned about the Saints outside of like the usual basic information of they're in New Orleans and the fleur-de-lis is their symbol, like right off the bat. So let's take a look at 2006 to 2016. This is coming from a tweet from Mike Triplett, who put this out earlier, talking about how many kickers the Saints went through during that time. So you've got John Carney three times, Billy Cundiff, Alindo Mare, Martin Gramatica, Taylor Milliff, Garrett Hartley, John Casey, Shane Graham, Zach Hocker, Kai Forbath, Will Lutz. That's 13 kickers in those 3 years. And finally, number 13 seemed to be the lucky number as they landed on Will Lutz, and Will Lutz is now set to sign one of the most lucrative deals for a place kicker, quoting his agent, in NFL history on a 5-year deal with the Saints. Very, very excited to have him back. One of the reasons why he was at the top of my list for the in-house guys to take care of and make sure that you bring back is because you finally got a good kicker in New Orleans. Please, please, please keep him here. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. Please don't put us through that again for another 10 years. Will Lutz is here, and Will Lutz is here to stay, and that's very exciting. So the Saints maintain their core special teams group. Just an incredible job by this coaching staff maintaining Will Lutz, keeping Justin Hardy, keeping Chris Banjo, keeping Craig Robertson. You've already got Thomas Morstead, one of the best punters in the league, and you've got Taysom Hill. Just keeping this special teams core together, which is great, especially with the addition of special teams coordinator Darren Rizzi. Special teams get so taken for granted all the time, but not in New Orleans. It's so, so, so important, that third element of the game. You can see so many fans from other team fan bases around the league being super disappointed about their teams not making these huge moves. Meanwhile, you can flip back to Houdat Nation and see all of Houdat Nation be so excited about maintaining these special teamers, one of the smartest fan bases in the league, understanding the game and understanding what it takes to win, and special teams can win you games. You want to keep the best guys there. So Will Lutz back on a 5-year deal. I'll update everybody with contract information, contract details once it all comes out. We might not see that until that 4 p.m. Eastern time deadline, or not deadline, but you know, start time for the new league year today, but that will be around the corner. Hopefully right around the same time we see what Teddy Bridgewater's contract details are as well. All right, so stick around. We're coming back to talk about Mark Ingram, everything that's gone on with him and what it means for the Saints and what it means for the Houdat Nation. So I got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. All right, Houdat Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now for us to talk a little Mark Ingram. Man, what a scenario this has turned out to be for Mark Ingram, for the Houdat Nation. Just twists and turns, kind of a roller coaster in a way. So we go back to the end of the season, right? Everyone's talking about how much we want Mark Ingram back in New Orleans. The team wants him back. Mark Ingram wants to come back. So he talks about it on air, talks about how, you know, he wants to come back. He goes on the Rich Eisen show, talks about how he's wanting to be back in New Orleans and that the Saints are interested in having him. Sean Payton's talking about it at press conferences. Yeah, there's mutual interest. We hope we can get it done. Combine rolls around. Yeah, we're starting conversations this weekend. Hope that we're going to be able to get it done. Mark's going on vacation. When he comes back, we'll talk a little bit more. Then they go back into more talks, and it looks like things are positive, right, for a really long time. I mean, this drew on for a few weeks, really, when you go back to when the talks really started to heat up, the Rich Eisen show appearance, all of that stuff leading up to this moment. So then we finally get to free agency. We are sort of worried about the fact that it's been quiet and all quiet on the home front all the way through until the point where legal tampering, that open negotiation phase begins, and then we still hear nothing, and then all of a sudden, news drops that the Saints have signed Latavius Murray to a four-year, $14 million contract. So that contract basically signaled to every fan of New Orleans, everyone in the Houdat Nation, that Mark Ingram's time in New Orleans was coming to an end, because why would you be signing Latavius Murray if you're going to be retaining Mark Ingram? Just doesn't make sense. So everyone was pretty sure moving into yesterday that, you know, Mark Ingram was on his way out. So there was a lot of conversation about how much money he wanted. Some numbers, some figures came out that he was asking for $8 million a year, which is just insane. It's not insane that he would ask for that. It's just insane in terms of what the Saints have to offer. Like, there's no way they would have been able to afford $8 million a year for a running back. At the combine, apparently one of the numbers that was floating around was 7.5 average per year contract. And then so, you know, the Saints say, I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to be able to do that. So we found out today at the Saints, I'm kind of skipping around here a little bit, but we found out today that the Saints actually had an offer out for $4.5 million per to Mark Ingram. But obviously that's beneath the 7 to 8, somewhere around that range, $1 million that he was rumored to be asking for. And then the news finally dropped today after many rumors saying that Mark Ingram would be going to the Baltimore Ravens. He takes a 3-year, $15 million contract with the Ravens. That's $5 million per year. Now, a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of Saints Twitter and everything else, the people saw that and then immediately were like, why couldn't the Saints just give up an extra $500,000 a year? Why couldn't Mark just take $500,000 less? Remember that Mark Ingram was making $4 million the last 4 years over the last contract that he signed. Remember, he was getting paid less than CJ Spiller at one point when the Saints went out and signed CJ Spiller, and that turned into a complete flop. But the Saints had him on a 4-year, $4 million contract. And so 4.5 would have been a bump up. That's what the Saints were trying to offer him. But then 5 ends up being what he agrees to. And I don't think that it's so black and white and that it's that simple. My understanding of this situation, when I look at it from my perspective, remember that Le'Veon Bell also signed a contract for less than anyone expected that he would go for. He basically took a pay cut to get to a better situation, is what Le'Veon Bell did. We'll talk about those contract details in a little bit. But when Le'Veon Bell did that, it dropped the market for running back because, you know, look, I signed Le'Veon Bell for this much, you know, for a percentage of this much over the top person. Why would I, you know, be putting up $8 million for you? Things like that, right? So that ended up sort of destroying Mark Ingram's market. So if he would have come in to New Orleans and taken a contract a little bit sooner, he might have ended up with a better deal, probably still around that 4.5. But, you know, look, retrospect is 2020, right? So it's too late at this point to look back and say, well, shoulda, coulda, woulda, because now Mark Ingram basically got a raise of $500,000 in terms of what he was being offered. In terms of what he was making, he got a raise of $1 million. You can't shake a stick at that. You know, that's still a good portion. That's still a good percentage up. So Mark Ingram ends up taking this 3-year, $5 million per year contract, and Saints fans go nuts. And it's okay. It's okay. This is probably what happened. Mark Ingram and his agent were asking for $7 to $8 million per year. The Saints were offering 4.5. The understanding for Mark Ingram and his agent is that they could go elsewhere and get $7 to $8 million. There were a lot of rumors floating around that the Ravens were offering $8 million, everything like that. So they probably understood and had a different offer and got coaxed away from New Orleans by this big offer that ended up getting sort of poo-pooed the moment that Le'Veon Bell signed a lesser contract. And also, don't forget that right before the Mark Ingram signing broke, the Earl Thomas signing broke, and that was a massively ridiculous contract, including $22 million of his $32 million guaranteed over the first 9 months of the contract. They don't have a lot of spend now money. That helps them for later. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't leave a lot of space for them to really work right now because they just fronted $22 million to a safety. So when you look at that, when you look at what Le'Veon Bell signed for, that's one of the things, that's probably what happened to Mark Ingram. He already stepped away from the Saints offer. He left that offer on the table. The Saints came to a quick agreement with a running back that they feel very comfortable with and they feel like can step in and be a contributor and a part of this offense alongside Alvin Kamara. And so he stepped away from that and then ended up having to take this deal that was still less than what he wanted. Now, here's a couple of things that work in his advantage. $1 million pay raise from what he was making in New Orleans, $500,000 pay raise from what he would have been making in New Orleans, and a more featured role in Baltimore. He's going to be a little bit more of a lead back over there, that certainly more than he would have been in New Orleans. So don't forget that there's also opportunity as a part of his contract here. That's a part of his equation, right? Sometimes we accept payment in forms that aren't monetary, right? I need housing in order to take this job. I need, you know, a car in order to work at this place, or yada, yada, yada. We end up taking things that aren't necessarily monetary as forms of payment. So sometimes opportunity becomes a part of the contract. And I think that that's what happened with Mark Ingram here. So don't be mad at Mark. Don't be mad at the Saints. Both of them had a price in mind. Mark just ended up not being able to get the price that he and his agent were expecting, but he got greater opportunity over in Baltimore. He had some great opportunity in New Orleans, but remember, the number one, the two things that were really on his list when he was talking about when he was on the Rich Eisen show were, one, winning a Super Bowl, which he's with a contender in the AFC in Baltimore, even though the Chiefs are loading up in their division. I'm sorry, the Browns are loading up in their division, but you know, he's with a solid team in Baltimore. And number two, he said he wanted to be able to rush for 10,000 career yards. He likely wasn't going to be able to do that while splitting carries with Alvin Kamara. Now, remember, when he was asked, what are the three, which of these three things is most important? How would you rate them? Rushing for 1,000 yards, winning a Super Bowl, or staying in New Orleans? Staying in New Orleans was actually one that he didn't even list. That's not to say that staying in New Orleans wasn't important to him, because it obviously was, and he had said it in many other forms and ways before that. But the opportunity is really the big thing that matters in this business for Mark Ingram, and I think he found it over in Baltimore. So we should just cheer him on, and we should be happy that he landed in some place and he got the money that he at least feels comfortable with. And maybe at some point in the future, the Saints can actually re-sign him, bring him back, and then let him finish off that all-time Saints rushing yards record before he retires a Saint. All right, y'all, stick around. Next, we're going to take a look at some of the big moves from around the league, including the big trade that puts Odell Beckham Jr. and his best buddy, Jarvis Landry, back together on the field. I'm so excited about this move. So we will be talking about that coming up next, right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. So we just finished talking about Mark Ingram, so let's sort of stick in that same kind of vein. We're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell signing with the New York Jets. He signs a four-year, $52.5 million contract, $35 million guaranteed, and it also has incentives that could take the contract up to $61 million over the course of those 4 years. Now, when you look at the four-year, $52.5 million contract, that puts Le'Veon Bell at about $13.125 million per year, which is less than the $14 and some change million contract that he would have made on the on the franchise tag last year. However, so a lot of people are, let me start there. A lot of people are coming at Le'Veon Bell talking about, oh, okay, you took a pay cut. Okay, all right. He's making a little bit less money than he would have made on the franchise tag. He potentially would have made more money than that re-signing with the Steelers, but there was no guarantee that that was going to happen, right? There was no guarantee that he was actually going to be able to play under that, you know, one-year franchise tag deal and then set up his future in terms of guaranteed money and guaranteeing himself a bigger contract moving forward, which, you know, his big concern is, what if I get hurt? With this contract, he's gone from $14 and some change million guaranteed on the franchise tag to $35 million guaranteed. Now, the 13.125 gets a little bit sweeter when you look at his incentives, which take him up to a potential total of $61 million, which makes it $15.25 million per year over the course of those 4 years in terms of average, but he's got to hit the incentives there, so that's unguaranteed. But the important thing for Saints fans to know here is that 13.125 average per year base level of the contract that Le'Veon Bell signed is what helped to affect Mark Ingram's chances of getting a larger contract around that $7 to $8 million per year that he was looking for from Baltimore. Baltimore was apparently in contention from Le'Veon Bell, but never actually made an offer. So it was really just kind of the Jets that Le'Veon Bell was dealing with. So there was no way to really run the price up there. The, you know, Ravens knew that they had had another option available in Mark Ingram should he walk from the Saints, all of that. And then, of course, when the news of Latavius Murray came down, then they knew, all right, Mark Ingram's out, so we can pursue him. And it helps that they were able to save on the money that they were paying to Mark Ingram because Le'Veon Bell went with this $13 million APY as opposed to the $15 million option that most people were expecting. So you pay, you know, Mark Ingram $8 million less than Le'Veon Bell, which would have been $7 million had Bell gotten up to 15, but instead he only got up to 13. You pay him $8 million less, bam, you're at $5 million. So, you know, the scale slides along with these top guys. They affect the market, and it's a trickle-down effect as it goes down. So that was Le'Veon Bell's contract signing with the Jets, but the more exciting news for me is watching Odell Beckham Jr. get traded to the Cleveland Browns. And I'm saying that non-ironically. Usually you would say, oh, somebody got traded to the Cleveland Browns as an insult or as a rip to their career. But right now, man, these Browns are looking mighty good. So the Giants ended up trading Odell Beckham Jr. This comes after they've traded away Snacks, they've traded away Olivier Vernon, they've traded away Odell Beckham Jr. Now they're just like shipping off Landon Collins walk. So, you know, Gettleman comes in and, you know, everybody is on the way out all of a sudden. You know, he's just letting talent go all willy-nilly. So that's what happened to yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr. gets traded to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for the Browns first round pick, 17th overall, one of their third round picks, the second one, 95 overall, and Jabril Peppers. So basically, the Giants couldn't even get the good third round pick. They got the 95 as opposed to the 80, a first round pick, and then safety Jabril Peppers, who, of course, you know, they need a safety. He was a first round pick himself, so maybe they valued that. He had a good year last year. There's probably some value in getting Jabril Peppers as well, and that might have knocked off, you know, or offset which of those third round picks they were getting. But regardless, what's going to be a ton of fun is watching Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, and David Njoku for the Browns offense next year. It's going to be a ton of fun to see that. And of course, that ends up pairing Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry back with, first of all, their position coach, their wide receiver position coach from LSU, where they both played together. And also, you know, they went back to high school. They go all the way back there. So they played high school ball together as well. So just an exciting story to watch unfold. I'd love to see the Browns get back on a hard knock somehow so we could really watch all of this happen, but that ain't going to happen. But it'll be fun to watch throughout the season, and it'll be a ton of fun to watch what these two guys do now that they are being reunited with a pretty solid ball club. It looks like the Browns are set to really start jumping into contention for maybe the first time in my present memory. So all right, those are the two big moves that I wanted to talk about today. There were lots of others. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On NFL podcast as well. Matt Williamson over there is keeping you up to date with every single move that's being made. He is on top of all of it. So make sure that y'all are checking him out over at Locked On NFL. And of course, make sure that you're subscribed, or not subscribed, but that you follow the Locked On NFL Net Instagram and Twitter so that you can get all of the reactions and all of the snippets from shows from the other local experts from all of the other 31 ball clubs around as well. Locked On Network's got you covered all across free agency. But right now, this is going to do it for today's episode. I will talk to y'all again tomorrow as we continue to go in. We are just hours away from essentially when, you know, the new league year finally actually begins, and we jump into the point to where people start signing their contracts and everything like that. Will Mark Ingram flip? Will he come back to New Orleans? Remains to be seen. I highly doubt it, but I know a lot of Saints fans are crossing their fingers. This would be the time to really, really start to get there, and then we'll get some more information too. Will Lutz contract, Teddy Bridgewater's contract, all of that. But for right now, I just want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. To all your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show, and please take some time to rate, review, share, all that. It's super, super helpful, and I thank you so much for all of that help. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Saints, and of course, make sure that you are subscribed so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you again for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, yeah. I'll holla at you.